Blog Talk Radio.
Feel nice and feel love. Gave me paradise.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. That's that Maxwell Essential. What you know about Maxwell? Any Maxwell fans up in here today? But I just want to welcome everybody to the Pops Moon Thursday Night Special, Breaking the Curse. So now we're going to talk about a very, very important subject. It was a requested subject, so we're going to try to dive deep into it. But before we get that far into it, let's talk about what Pops Moon is, what we stand for, and what we're striving to accomplish. Pops Movement is used to be people or prisoners organizing peace systems and has become people organizing peace systems. What we're striving to accomplish is to bring peace within our communities, within ourselves, and within everything that we touch. It's a six-step program. Step one is forming a bond. Forming a bond could be anything. It could be forming a bond with yourself. It could be forming a bond with your higher power. It could be forming a bond with a friend, family member. It could be forming a bond with a complete stranger or anybody in the community. What forming a bond gives us is a basis, groundworks for where we can continue to grow from. Kind of like if you're building a skyscraper, do you build from the top down or from the bottom up? Typically built from the bottom up. That's what that bottom is, that foundation. That's what forming a bond is all about. Now we have step two. What is step two? Step two is identifying the problem. No, I'm lying. Yeah, I think it is. I think I forgot my steps. Identifying the problem. By identifying the problem, what we're doing is discovering what the issues are within whoever it is that you are having, you know, a relationship with, which is step one. You've already built that bond. Now you're trying to identify where you have issues, where you can step in and build from. In our communities, it could be, you know, rapid drug problems. Elders and youth not being able to communicate, wife and husband, you know, not getting along, whatever the case may be. You as an individual from the outside looking in need to be able to, you know, stand where you can fit in and be able to assist. That's where step three comes into play, which is unity, expressing the importance of unity. Whenever we unite, that's where we continue to be able to, defeat it together. It's very difficult to defeat things by yourself. You know, no one individual can, you know, fix the community. It takes a group of people, or one-on-one situation where you're trying to assist, you know, you're stepping in and showing, look, I care. I'm there for you. Look, we've already built that bond. You trust me. I trust you. Let's work on this together. That's very important because sometimes people just can't get through things by themselves, and they need that person that they can confide in, they can trust. That doesn't want to hurt them in any way, shape, or form. That's where, you know, expressing that unity after that, building that bond is so important because, you know, we're stronger united than we are individually. Number four is getting into the solution. Getting to solution means, well, we've identified the problem. What's next? Getting into the solution. Well, what's the solution? We've got to figure that out. Like, we've already identified the issues. Let's figure out how we're going to defeat the issues. You know, if you're not willing to take that next step, then the first three steps are they're a waste of time. If you're not going to get into the solution, don't even get involved. And that's where a lot of people have a misconception about it. They like to get to the first three steps like, man, I'm there with you. I got this. Let's do it together. And then when, you know, stuff hits the fan, they ain't nowhere to be seen. So getting into the solution is very important. Step in terms of the six-step procedure because right there, it's right in the middle front, let's call it that. So, you know, once we get into the solution, we have to strategize. We got to sit down, create that think tank, and be able to, you know, communicate back and forth and say, well, how are we going to accomplish whatever the problem is? We're in the solution now. We're ready to get it popping. What are we going to do to defeat this? You know, it's no different than a strategy session in the corporate, you know, CEO's office. We're sitting there, we're talking about how are we going to present our product. Well, our product is peace. How are we going to present this peace? How are we going to reconcile? How are we going to fix whatever is wrong with the individual, whatever is wrong with the family, whatever is wrong with the community? How are we going to do it? And typically, it takes more than one person, typically. Why? Because, multiple ideas come from multiple people. You know, you see things or see life from one way, I see it from another way. So after we have strategized, step six is, responsibility. Man, I'm horrible with my steps today. But step six is taking responsibility. Taking responsibility is very important in terms of it all, because if you're not going to take responsibility, why'd you go through step one through five? Why did you even entertain it? Responsibility, a lot of people shy away from it. You know, they say all, they make it sound good. They say all the right things. They're ready to get it working. And then when it's time to go, they don't want to take the responsibility. They just want, you know, that, this is more than I can bear. You know, I don't want to. Well, that's where everything falls apart. And I want to take that responsibility and step out and get it going. You're not going to get very far. You're not going to get many things accomplished. So it's very important that we have a good understanding and we're willing to take that responsibility. Sometimes it's a little heavier of a load than we're ready to take, but that's why we express the importance of unity at the very beginning, because then we can delegate what responsibility can go to what person. And those are the six steps to peace. Those are the six steps to life. Those are just the six steps. How you choose to interpret them is strictly up to you, but they work. I use them. Our family here at Pops Movement uses them. And I promise you, if you use them, they'll work for you as well. Now, what else have Pops Movement got going on? We got Peace Summit coming up in 2018. We're working on that diligently, trying to get it going, trying to, you know, organize, strategize. If you ever want to join one of the sessions, I definitely encourage you to come on in, listen to what's going on, see how you can assist us and take responsibility for maybe something that you're interested in contributing. You definitely get in touch with myself or Brother Hess, and we'd be more than happy to bring you in an appropriate manner. You know, it's very important that, you know, the summit happens in the way it's supposed to happen, because it's just another example of a bunch of people that believe in the same concept of peace coming together and showing the world, showing themselves, it can be done and it will be done. So look forward, check our website out, possiblemovement.net. Check out the Peace Summit, peacesummit.org, I believe it is. But I'll let our brother Hess come in and make sure he clarifies that, make sure my information is correct. Appreciate you guys listening to what I have to say in regards to the possible and what we have to do. Let's get the show started. Brother Hess, you with me? Let me see. You in the studio? No? Not yet? Maybe?
Some blessings.
Peace, brother. Peace. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. All is well, man. How you feeling today?
Man, I don't know how I feel right now. This is I'm ready to tackle this subject. I tell you that. A lot of ideas flowing through my head, and trying to relate to what I'm actually living and able to express. So my emotions are up and down because this is a very emotional subject. I went through it, you know, different than anybody else.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, congratulations, brother, on coming to terms with that reality, as well as, you know, seeing the importance of continuing to help others along the same roads that we've traveled. That's the honor of being a part of this movement. So I just want to also welcome everybody in. You know, thank you for being a part of our moment of peace, preparing everyone as change evolves. And one of the biggest elements of preparation is mental preparation, because until we get our minds right, until we get our minds stable, until we get our minds focused, it is hard to prepare for what is to come, what is to be faced. You know, many times we've seen that life is not fair. Life does not play according to the rules that we set down for life at a very early age. And some people have gone through life, not everybody, some people have gone through life, and life has been so unfair to the point to where it put the mind upon the pressures that it wasn't quite able to bear the weight of. And as a result, that weight has crushed many things when it came to developing and maturing holistic approaches, spiritual approaches, as well as things that many people can now say make sense or sensible approaches. And so with that being said, family, I work with those who deal with different mental disabilities or mental illnesses every day, This is a part of working on the front lines of what we call struggles, struggles with life, struggles with situations in daily routine, struggle with habits, struggle with self and conflicting thoughts. And so, family, one of the things that I realize is that I'm an asset to others who deal with these daily mental confrontations, because I have, like Brother Jan just shared, I too myself have faced mental disabilities. And I know that it is because of growing up in a hostile environment, growing up watching, you know, domestic violence go on in my home, growing up in poverty, growing up being mentally, verbally, and even physically abused by those around me, and not being capable of understanding that these are the things that are going to happen to a child who's growing up in a dysfunctional home, a dysfunctional family, and a dysfunctional community and environment. And so as a result of growing up in this, I began to use my mind in the wrong manner. I began to get angry and lash out. I began to act out because I didn't know how to express the fact that I was hurting, that I was disabled. You know, how does a child deal with being molested? How does a child deal with being abandoned? How does a child deal with being abused? And they don't know how to ask for help, where help is supposed to come from, and afraid that if they reveal certain things that has happened in the home, you know, they already are feeling ostracized. So now this will further give people in society and around them an excuse or a reason to further alienate them. And so these are the things that lead to, you know, forms of depression, loneliness, isolation. These are the things that lead to being overly aggressive, being obsessive, meaning focused in on one thing too much and not having a balanced lifestyle and a balanced mind frame. But what do you mean, Brother Hess, when you say a balanced mind frame? Well, it is natural, my family, for a human being to focus upon their education, to focus upon their social development, to focus upon their spirituality, to focus upon economics as being a way to be able to achieve a certain level of success and succeeding in gaining the things in which makes life comfortable. And I'm saying that to say that when you begin to feel inadequate and you don't know how to bring upon that adequacy, then it leaves you feeling disadvantaged, helpless, hopeless, and many times mentally homeless. Those are the three horsemen. And when we look at mental illness today, there are many people within our society, many, who have dealt with and are still dealing with these mental issues every single day. You know, there are times when one wakes up in despair. There are times when we have some of us have the addictive personality, and we are addicted to drugs or food or candy, or we're addicted to an individual in our life that is not healthy for us. And this comes as a form of mental illness. Mentally, we are ill equipped to make decisions predicated upon our contentment in life on a healthy basis. And when one is under these stresses, it leaves one distressed, diseased, and many people don't want to admit to it because they're afraid of being criticized or ridiculed or ostracized. And so it goes untreated, unresolved. Well, why are you saying all this, Brother Hess? I'm saying that because, family, I'm sick and tired of hurting. And so what I had to do was I had to expose what was going on in order to show what needed to be treated, what needed to be helped. And after I gained that help, they told me that the only way that I could continue to stay, you know, free of these illnesses, these diseases, the diseases, the mental disease, is if I help others to overcome their diseases, their illnesses, their unhealthy stages, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And so, family, you know, we want to welcome everybody into tonight's topic and discussion. And if you're willing to speak up on this topic, you know, press 1. Some of us had mothers. Some of us had fathers. Some of us had grandparents. You know, I can remember, may God bless her soul, my grandmother, she was one who had so many mental illnesses that she began to talk to herself. And not really to herself, she really seen something out there or up on the roof or in the room or whatever you may call it. She seen something there, and she spoke to it on a daily basis when she wasn't taking her medication. And I want to put a disclaimer out there. We are not a Pops Movement legally licensed mental health doctors. We are not psychiatrists, psychologists, nor social workers. But we are people who have a care and a concern for those who have dealt with mental illnesses and issues, especially even some of ourselves. And so we are dedicated to doing what we can on a grassroots level to confront these issues and illnesses within the lives of our peers, meaning others who are on the front lines and in our communities and our lives as far as our family, friends, and loved ones. And so with that being said, you know, please press 1 if you're willing to come in. And I want to hear what you got, Brother Young, because I know how your mind thinks most of the time, and I know that your preparation for this show can definitely lead to some enlightenment on many levels. Peace and blessings, love and service.
Most definitely, brother. Well, when this topic was brought to me, bro, a lot went through my mind. You know what I mean? It's it's a difficult subject because when it comes to the mind, it's very delicate, and people are delicate in a general sense. You can create a mental illness based on the way you live your life. how do I say this? When I was a kid, I was always seeking my father's approval for certain things, you know. So I see my dad, and I obviously want him to have a say in what I do. And anytime I'll do something good, I'll try to present it to him. And this is in the early years of his life. And how do I say this? He would reject me. I would go, you know, accomplish some good stuff, and I'll come to him, and he'd say, I'm busy. You're interrupting me. I'll go, you know, do A, B, C, D, and he'll say, you know what, I don't care. You're in my way. I'm watching football right now. Stuck with me. It created a mental inability to continue to progress. I actually became stagnant in my growth as a child because I had issues with my parents at that time. My mom was striving to do the best that she could. You know, raising 2 children with my dad never really being around, and it was a very abusive relationship. So seeing those things really had an effect on the way I lived my life and the way I did certain things. It created an illness, maybe a psychotic illness, it could be, you know, an emotional illness. It could be a multitude of things. And children are very susceptible to that in the general sense. Emotional abuse, mental abuse, mental illnesses. Some kids are put down because of their mental illnesses. You know, it's not cool to make fun of the kid who has Down syndrome. You know, their minds work on a different way, a different plateau, whatever you want to call it. It works differently, functions differently. They have beautiful minds, but you have to take it to the level that they are able to communicate with you on the level they understand. My brother personally grew up with mental issues. No disrespect to anybody. You know, I can say this freely because he's my little brother. He was more or less on a short bus. Everybody used to make fun of the kids on a short bus. But why are we making fun of them? Do you know what that does to their spirit? Do we know what it does to their psyche? Do you know what it does for their progression and growth in life? And we don't really take into account for that a lot of times. Because when I really sat down and got to know my little brother, I wasn't really able to be in his life too much because I was either incarcerated in the streets or out of the state, whichever the case may be. I didn't really get to know the kid. You know what I mean? And he had a beautiful mind. He saw things from completely different perspective. He liked architecture. He was able to build things. He was doing marvelous things. But when it came to studying in class, he had issues. He was unable to focus. He was unable to grasp the language of English. He grew up in a multilingual household where my parents spoke English and Russian to him, and it was an issue. You know, he grew up with a very severe case of eczema. It's virtually untreatable. You know, typically you can treat eczema, but it's virtually untreatable. And my mom played a huge role in his development as a child. She almost created the mental issues. My stepfather used to beat him up over it because he's like, you're a normal kid. You should be able to do A, B, C, D. And he didn't have an understanding of the mental aspect of this child. And my mother used to defend him to the max. And it used to be a battle within the household. They're constantly arguing, well, this is, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's huge in the development of a child because he's seeing these things and he's registering. But he had a speech issue. He couldn't speak until he was about 3-4 years old. Words just wouldn't formulate. He wasn't able to eat the same things as most kids were able to eat. You would eat a tomato and he would turn red. He would have fish and he would break out into hives. And he would have all these issues that were. That was huge in his ability to develop. As he grew older, he was more encouraged. I encouraged him all the time. You know, he would talk to me on a regular basis, you know, as far as just, you know, advice is concerned. My sister would support him all the time. His father at that time finally came around and was able to understand the mental aspect of things, and he wasn't as mentally abusive to him as anymore. He would understand, like, he's just not grasping it. And his development increased rapidly. He became better at so many other subjects. He still struggles with math a little bit, but he's persistent. You know, I talked to him about biology the other day. He's a sophomore in high school, and he's like, man, this is tough. I'm like, well, it's supposed to be tough. It wasn't meant to be easy. And it's that encouragement that I'm giving him, you know, or the family is giving him that's helping the kid grow. He's actually really good at water polo. He loves water polo. You know, he's able to do things that we found that have assisted in what he loves to do. And kids used to tease him. And I used to tell him, well, why are they teasing you? And I would have to have those conversations. So I personally can attest to watching these kind of abuses go on. But you also got to consider the family abuse, where the spouses are constantly abusing each other verbally, or the siblings abusing each other verbally. That's like mental abuse. It's almost like beating someone up physically, but mentally. And the difference is physically you heal differently than when you mentally. Because sometimes mentally you may never heal because you've never addressed the issue. You may be acting out. That's what I started to do as a kid. I started acting out because I was abused mentally so much by my pops. My mom didn't know how to communicate with me, so I told the whole world to go to hell. So I would start doing bad things. Basically, in spite of everybody else, well, this is not good. Well, you know what? I'm going to go do it just because you said it's not good. I want to know how it feels. And that's how I felt about the subject. That's how I felt about the situation. And, you know, emotional and mental abuse, it doesn't really have a face. People don't really sometimes recognize that they're doing it. It's, you know, it's kind of almost instantaneous, you know. A lot of parents or caregivers who display a rejecting behavior towards a child will often purposely or unconsciously let the child know in a variety of ways that he or she is unwanted even. They put the child down as, you know, as a worth or belittling their needs or some, you know, some types of emotional abuse. And it leads to the child doing things that they may not do. If you watch your mom and dad fighting every single day, guess what? You're probably going to replicate that. So those examples are huge to our development because, you know, a lot of the times they say girls who don't have a father have daddy issues. So they go from man to man looking for the man to, you know, solve their problems. But in the process, they're getting beat up emotionally and mentally by the guys that they're choosing because they're not choosing good guys. They have no father to give them that example. But they're seeking it so much and they're trying to find it any way they can. And that's a dangerous cycle to go through. That's a dangerous cycle to live in. And, you know, it could go on and on. There's different types of abuses. You know, mental abuse is a form of violence that affects the mind, often leaving the abused feeling worthless and lacking empowerment. Mental abuse is also known as an emotional abuse. types of mental abuse include verbal and psychological abuse that both can be extremely hurtful. So you got to be very careful with what you say to people. You know, a good example would be, you know, I'm not, no disrespect to you ladies, I love you very much, but, you know, sometimes you look in the mirror and you say, am I fat? And then at the same time, your skin and bones. That's something mentally that you developed in your psyche that, you know, you watched on the TV and nobody reinforced how beautiful you are maybe as a child, and now you're striving to find different ways. And that's not cool because you're beautiful just the way you are, and if you feel like you're overweight, then what are you doing for your health? We have to talk about those things, and some people are afraid to talk about them. They get very emotional. I've tried to. So with that being said, I've talked a lot. I definitely have more to say. I just want to see where you're at, Brother Hess. We have a few callers. If you want to come in, press 1. Speak from your experience, from your understanding. What are you doing? Have you done, et cetera, et cetera. Peace, bro.
Peace and blessings, love and service, family. You know, brother, you definitely hit some strong points. And one of the things that is a key issue when it comes to breaking these curses is to realize that it is a curse that we have control over, that we have the power to break. And I want to bring that in right now at our midsection into this show, because this power hour is one about definitely breaking what it is that we see is holding us back. And I'm not here to say that all mental illnesses and issues can be treated, you know, through a spiritual experience, because I know that some people need medication. Some people have to have psychological treatment from professionals who can take them into the very depths of what happened in order to bring them back out from that experience and show them that life is okay to live without remaining fearful or remaining in such a state of utter alienation. And it's like today, what I do want to empower and encourage within you know, all of us is to realize that when it comes to these different mental diseases, that's what it is. It's a disease. Our mind is not at ease. It's in a state of fear. It's in a state of shock. It's in a state of despair. And it's longing for something. It's looking. It's needing. It's crying out. And if it doesn't find that, then it remains diseased. Do we realize that? Well, what are you saying, Brother Hess? I'm saying that the repercussions of this dis-ease is to seek things, people, places, to bring in the ease that cannot be found normally. And that's why professionals are a lot of times required, because some people won't realize for themselves that smoking reefer is not a remedy to what happened when we were children. Drinking alcohol is not going to take away what happened in our early adult stages. It's not going to stop the fact that we've seen that person murdered. It's not going to you know, all of a sudden blow away out of our mind the fact that we were molested or abused. It's not going to take away the fact that that rejection we felt as an early adolescent stage between the ages of 11 to 14, that rejection is still cripples us today from becoming sociable. We have to realize that the drugs and the alcohol is not a remedy. It's not right. And many of our people are running to the drugs and alcohol as a medium. Many of our people are lashing out on other people as a result of what went on. You hear our people hollering and screaming at one another in order to deal with a situation about who's going to wash the dishes, who's going to pay this month's bill. Why haven't you been taking out the trash? The house smells funky. Why won't you go bathe? Are you afraid of the water? It's like, nah, I'm not afraid of the water. I just don't love me. I don't care about me. And being clean is really, it's really a outer reflection of how I feel inwardly, and I don't feel inwardly clean. So taking a bath is not a priority. You see, family, what I'm getting at is the fact that when we tell ourselves these things, that I need a blunt, I need a cigarette, I need a drink, I need some sex, I need, you know, the 30 beat behind me. I need that power over this woman or over this man. I got to have my lover in my life, and they can't never go nowhere. So I got to find ways to keep them as a puppet, depending on me. I need this money, because without this money, my life is not valuable. When we tell ourselves these things, you got to be careful, because you got to nurture yourself with positive self-talk before you talk yourself into some big regret. Because these are habits. And when you form habits, you got to realize that if they're unhealthy, then they will become a part of our natural belief system, which makes us mentally ill. And the only way that we can break these curses the majority of the time is if we learn the correct method to change our terminology. You know, man, a wise person once taught me, he said, "Brother Hess, you realize that your words dictate what you think? And your thoughts dictate how you feel. Do you see how your feelings and your emotions dictate how you act? And if you don't like the way you act, if you don't like your behavior, if you don't like your habits and the character in which you portray on a daily basis when nobody's watching, then go back to how you feel. And if your actions, behavior, habits, and character is not liked because of how you feel and your emotional state, then go back to what you're thinking that's leading to those feelings and emotions. And if you know that those thoughts are raw and wrong, that they're ill-equipped to be able to put you and position you at a beautiful place in life today of contentment, of maturity, of mental development, of balance, then take time to look at those thoughts and go back to the words that you're feeding your mind. Because every word is a curse, or every word is a blessing. We have to be mindful of what we speak into our existence. These words that we culminate and bring together, they are actually spells that bind us. What we say we need will eventually become what we end up needing. See, I need love today. I need a purpose in life today. I need a God of my understanding today. I need recovery today. I need balance today. I need a mission that brings me more closer to a pure state of existence today. See, that is what I need, and I have to keep speaking it from the moment I wake up in the morning and fall onto my knees and pray to the moment I go to sleep at night. Last night I had a dream that I was robbed, and that I was attempted to be shot or stabbed for my property. And when I woke up this morning, I was like, whoa, man, that was a deep dream. And I began to go back into my old mental state until I had to shake it off and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And I had to get down on my knees. I had to thank my higher power for giving me life, health, and strength, and focus on what it is that his will was for my life today. And I broke that curse of feeling that I was victimized, abused, abandoned by those that I trusted to be there for me, and I had to move into my blessing. I don't want to talk too long because somebody may want to come in and I want to pass this mic back. But family, we have to break the curse of our mental issues, our mental illnesses. But most of all, I call it and I term it for myself, mental challenges. It's only a challenge. It's only a challenge. And if you're willing to face the challenge, then we can come out of the challenge. We can break that curse. Peace and blessings. I turn the mic back over, brother.
Peace, bro. I want to touch on something you stated. I'm a huge proponent for not giving medicine to kids, even with mental issues or challenges. I'm not trying to debate you on it. I'm just going to share my opinion on it and why I feel so strongly about it. I personally was diagnosed with, obviously, ADD, ADHD, those type of. And then there was one I was acting out. I forget exactly the terminology they used. And they were trying to give me medicine. I refused it. One of my best friends was he has bipolar disease. And he was given medicine, and he took it. And he said it made him – altered his personality and restricted who he was as an individual. It made him feel groggy, made him feel just different. A lot of times, a lot of doctors are paid by pharmaceutical companies to encourage the sales of pills and medicines to children. When in all actuality, if you just give them a little bit of tender love and care, you might accomplish it a lot more. A lot of parents don't have that understanding because they're unknowledgeable. You know, I still to this day have ADD, ADHD, you know. If you spend 10 minutes with me, you know, sitting in the same room with me, you would completely see that in every way, shape, or form. I look around. I can't pay attention. You know, I'm fidgety. I can't sit in my seat too long. Like, if you spend enough time with me, you would understand that my mind works on a different plane than maybe the average mind does. Not saying I'm greater or smarter in any way, shape, or form. What I'm saying is it works differently. When at any given moment, I'm more like some people ask me, are you taking energy drinks or drink coffee? I don't do either one of those, but I'm bouncing off walls constantly. You know, that was one of the questions that someone asked. Where the heck do you get all this energy? He's like, that's what my teacher says all the time. He's like, that's just the way he is. He's a little different. Don't pay attention. But I've accepted it. I've honed into what makes me me. And in all actuality, that so-called deficiency, once I've learned to center and hone into it, has actually assisted me because I do have more energy than the average person. I do want to do things all the time. I have a different drive. I have a greater attention to detail because of it too sometimes. You know, a lot of people can't travel, go to a different city and, you know, figure out the subway system, the train system, the bus system, and the entire layout of the city and, you know, and just looking at a map. Well, my mind has allowed me to do that. I'll give you an example. I went to Israel when I was 13 years old, and I memorized because I was looking at all the different signs and every single little detail of the entire trip, about an hour and a half. I memorized from the airport to my grandparents' house in one trip. On the way back, I told my grandfather how to get there, and he couldn't believe it because that's how my mind functioned. And until we hone into our specialties, because we're all individually gifted, we're never going to really understand ourselves. We're never going to understand our true power. You know, that's the one misconception a lot of people have from my perspective is our minds are beautiful just the way we are. We just have to hone into their greatness. We have to be mindful of our deficiencies and our abilities because my inability to focus for too long on the same subject also hinders me. Reading a book, that's like rocket science to me sometimes because I have to reread the page because I've read the book and my comprehension is low. You know what? I might have to reread this. I missed the entire point of that. And that's just the way my mind functions. And until we have that understanding, we're going to be abusing, you know, someone's going to abuse me and say, are you an idiot? Are you dumb? Well, what's wrong with you? And they're going to terrorize me. They're going to make me feel inadequate. They're going to make me feel like I'm not good enough for them. You know, that's horrible. That's a horrible feeling. They did a survey back in the day, and, you know, children by the age of 2 years old, just 2 years old, 90% of the family had used one or more forms of psychological aggression or abuse in the 12-month period. 90%. Do we have any idea what that does to a child's mind or an adult mind thereafter? You just got beat up every single type of way, and if someone didn't encourage you and someone didn't reinforce how great you are, imagine how terrible of a person, how terrible of a life you may live. That in itself, you know, it's hard to seek for help. A lot of people don't know how to ask for help. You know, if you're being abused mentally or physically, telling someone you trust who can take extensive measures to protect your safety and privacy, such as, a family member or a friend, that's very important to all this. And sometimes we just don't have those people in our corner. And doctors are too judgmental of us, trying to stuff pills down our throats, saying, well, this is going to cure your problems. You know, my grandfather, who I think is developing a form of dementia, he was diagnosed with depression. So they're stuffing him with, Xanax and anxiety pills. My mom knows that he can abuse those pills, so she limits how many that she gives them. And he only takes them when he has high levels of emotional instability. And Xanax actually calms him down and gives him equilibrium. I used to be not an addict of Xanax, but I used to take Xanax all the time. And I'll tell you this right now from my personal experience. I didn't have a care in the world when I took a Xanax. I would take them at work when, I have high-stress situations. And I'd be like, you know what, I am not about to deal with this. I'll take a half a Xanax, and I'll just look at these people like they're retarded. Excuse my language. Yeah, my sophomore high school teacher said, don't ever say retarded. Mentally challenged. But my point is, people were just like, he's just in another planet. He's in another world. It altered my level of understanding of the world that's around me, and it's just like I had no care. You could say something to me, and it just went way above my head. And that's, the type of things that start to occur. Mental abuse, mental illnesses, mental a lot of things. The mind is very powerful, and until we have a complete, thorough understanding of it, we really can't judge. We really can't beat up. We can't really say hurtful things. We have to kill it with love and kindness. You know, that's why it's very tough to find a good psychiatrist or a very tough psychiatrist or psychologist, because it's hard to confide in someone who's not going to give you misinformation. I learned that from my own studies, my own reading of books. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and it's required from us as leaders within our communities to have a thorough understanding of the human mind, because how are we going to help somebody until, A, we've helped ourselves with understanding the issues that we're facing, and then, B, being able to show them that we're with them every step of the way. That's why the six steps is so important through it all. You know, I've developed a bond with this individual, shown him, look, I care. I love you for who you are and what you stand for, et cetera. We're going to go through whatever it is that you're going through too. I will hold you by the hand. I'll give you an example. There's this girl I'm talking to right now. She's a friend of mine. We're not like dating or anything. She's just a good friend. And she was mentally abused to the T. Daddy used to beat her up for his, physically and mentally. If she didn't understand things, he would beat her. He said, why are you so stupid? If she didn't think a certain way, he would abuse her mentally and physically sometimes. It has had a huge impact on her relationships thereafter and her ability to understand things today. She has a learning disability because she never really was taught how to learn appropriately. She has communication issues because she was never taught the proper way of communicating. She thought yelling and fighting growing up was the way you communicate with people, and today she doesn't know how to express her true inner thoughts. Sometimes when she speaks to me, I just give her this look, and I have to be understanding, like, okay, you know what? I'm dealing with an individual who is suffering from the past. And today, in her present form, 34, 35 years old, she's still suffering. You know, that's a tough thing to accept. You know, it's like mommy and daddy issues really are created at our ground stages and are projected in our adult life, and then we're projecting them onto our children or, people within our community. And that's just, that's a never-ending cycle. That's the curse we need to break. You know, it's the curse that needs to be focused on, really, truthfully. And I've been striving to help her where she has been lacking and exposing some of those things and assisting her in understanding how to communicate, breaking things down to a level she understands and saying, well, let's just analyze the situation. How can you have handled it differently and got a different result? And we'll go piece by piece by piece until she understands. And half the time she's fighting me because she's trying to defend herself. It's very defensive. It's very hard for a person to share intimate details about themselves and not get defensive when you say something to them that is A, possibly hurtful, B, you know, something that brings up traumatizing situations, and C, something they don't understand. The problem is her dad still abuses her mentally, and I'm now actually teaching her how to stand up to him. She's not there, but she's doing a better job than when I met her. She actually put him in his place a couple of times. I was proud of her. And those are the things that we need to start doing for people, you know, once we have a thorough understanding, because I first, A, had to get myself right, and now I can go back out and help people who don't know any better. You know, I've talked to my mom, has finally gotten to a level after all my criminal and, you know, all my bad ways of living, has now gotten to a level where she can call me and get actual advice from me about certain things in her life. And there was a situation between her and my sister, and I broke it down for her, and I made her feel a certain type of way that was positive. And she's like, how did you get so smart that you never understood things like this before when you were younger? How did you get so smart to understanding where I'm coming from and what I'm feeling and, you know, my perspective on it all? I'm like, Mom, I just read a lot of books, and I'm striving to understand you before understanding, you know, anything else. Where are you coming from? What did you go through to get where you are? I'm fortunate enough because you're my mother. I know where, you know, you came from. I know your parents. I know your both of your husbands. You know, I know your family situation. I know you as an individual. So striving to see it from your perspective and what you're feeling and how you're feeling it is critical to me explaining to you how to combat the situation. And that's why it's so important to talk about these subjects and address them and, you know, break the curses that we're fighting, because, you know, that unity that we have amongst ourselves is what's going to help us defeat the subject, defeat, you know, any illnesses or issues that we may have. That's why when I see kids in particular, and I love my church for it, they had a special play that they put on for all the churchgoers during a service with, you know, special kids class, whatever. I forgot what they exactly call it. And those kids enjoyed the heck out of themselves. And it was awesome to see them laughing and smiling and performing something that will carry them on throughout their lives, because they are loved by us, they are loved by their higher power, and they're loved by their family and community. And that's how we reinforce it, and that's how we defeat that mental illness that we face so commonly within our family and community structure. Hand back over to you, brother. We got about 5 minutes left. Any closing comments, any questions, et cetera? Let's, you know, finish it up and see where we go from there.
Absolutely. Peace and blessings. Thank you so much for sharing, brother. And, you know, I definitely can feel you. And I can relate to what you're saying about Mom Dukes, because my mother also, today can call me for advice. She can call me for counsel. She can call me to, you know, run things by me, and, you know, and that means a lot to me today. You know, one of the things that I have been experiencing as an organizer here in Pops Movement is many people on social media will spaz out. You know what I mean? And one of the main hubs of our promotion is through social media. And it's like, how can you push things and objectives and marches and peace summits and conferences and youth summits and, you know, radio station opportunities? How can you promote, you know, one-on-ones, free consultation, opportunities to provide services, help, as well as, you know, donations, whatever it is that we as Pops Movement have been doing over the past 8 years, going on 8 years now, without witnessing people who don't know how to ask for help actually expressing it. And so my summary on this dialogue and this conversation and this discussion that we've had tonight, it basically boils down to this. You know, a lot of times many of us, we face different issues mentally. We face different battles, different challenges mentally. When we face these battles and challenges, when we are able to overcome these issues, these struggles, we now have a roadmap for those who are going through what we've been through. And the way to stay focused is to continue to commit our lives to being an assistant to others. And some people may say, well, Brother Hess, these people don't want help. And I say, honestly, ask yourself, did you want help? And the majority of us would say, no, I didn't want help. I was crazy. But deep down inside, what human being wants to be miserable? Wants to be in pain? Wants to suffer? Wants to go through the loneliness and the despair that these mental diseases cause? You know, we can affect people every day of our life through compassion, empathy, and love. And it is not hard to just simply say, peace be still. I'm praying for you. Or I hope you feel better. Or I felt like that too. These are 3, 4, 5, and 6 word sentences that can simply be dropped on someone through speaking, through writing, through texting, or through placing a comment on a post. How often do we take the time to just stroll right on by when we see certain things going on a street corner, at our job, in the line at the grocery store, when we're strolling down the timeline of Facebook and what have you? You know, family, how many times do we ignore our opportunity to bring peace, to bring solution, resolution to conflict? Because I want to say this right here. You see people fighting physically or hollering out verbally, it first started mentally. And if you realize that the real sickness is inside of the mind, if you can take the mind onto a spiritual plane, a social plane, a comical plane, you now rose it above the problem, the pain. Why not be a part of that? And even if they say, kiss my behind, get the hell out my face, we humbly leave as we came, striving to place into the life of another what we wish would have been placed in our life when we were so miserable, stuck. As we begin to break these curses in our own minds, let's remember that we have a direct obligation and duty to help to break the curse for others. When we break that spell and come out of that depression, let us remember those who remain in a depressive state. Let us remember that we have the roadmap out. And if we'll just share it, we'll just give it away, that could become the most precious investment that we ever made. It is free to pray with someone. It is free to meditate for someone. Let us not, you know, be so simple-minded to stay stuck in our own lives and forget that the only way we keep what we have is usually by giving it away. I love y'all very much, man, and I look forward to every discussion that we have here on Thursday nights of Breaking the Curse, because as I speak to you, I have first spoken these very same principles, ideologies, and concepts to myself. I love y'all, and I'm willing to prove it through my service. Peace and blessings, family. Y'all have a good night.
Peace, bro. I appreciate you stating that. I appreciate all the listeners. I want to leave you guys with one little thing before we close it out. I had a really rocky relationship with my sister that was a lot of physical / mental abuse to each other. And one of the things that I learned through Pops and through my own personal study and understanding in regards to building a bond is building a bond predicated on what a person loves. My sister and I went through a lot, but our relationship is stronger than ever today. Part of the reason is my ability to mature and becoming more enlightened and understanding. Another reason would be for her being more accepting and, you know, her compassion. And one of the things that I have done when she's tried so hard to push herself away when things got tough, is I gave her space. But what I also did is I found a way to constantly be on her mind and in her life. And one of the things that I did, and it's really assisted in our relationship because she feels more compelled to keep me in the loop. She feels more compelled to reach out to me. She feels, you know, a certain level of love. And it was something as simple as this. My sister loves animals. Every time I'm on Facebook, Instagram, or just scrolling around and I see something cute, you know, in her perspective, and a cute animal doing eating some ice cream, playing, animals in general, just naturally things, I just send her a message. And it's been about a year now since we've been doing this, and she sends them to me, I send them to her, and now we're bringing our mother into it. And now my mom's sending us stuff and doing that kind of thing too. Sometimes we send cooking recipes. And it's just something as simple as when I see it, I send it to her because I'm showing her that I'm thinking of her. I'm showing her that I care, and I'm showing her I'm right here with her. So when she does have the courage to come and sit down and talk to me about something, she knows that she's coming to someone who actually loves her. So find something that you can do for somebody else. That's something as small as that. It doesn't take a lot of effort, like our brother said, just saying hello. Show them that you care. And then from there, you can take it. You know, I've already taken the responsibility that I'm going to be, you know, the big brother that I'm supposed to be. What are you doing to be a big brother or a big sister? So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for coming on in. This is definitely a curse that needs to be broken, and I wish everybody a lot of love and peace. Have a good night.
Be no one to hear you when you're on them days you was walking with pretty women on your arm while you're flossing. I'm thankful that I didn't end up in a coffin.